Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Big Jack with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Sports Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's. So I know how.
All right,
I know
so
you want to jump. I know, go ahead. I know you want to jump right into the dream, Field of Dreams game, and then the schedule for next year with the Cubs and the Reds. I hope it's something worth watching. I have to ask, because it's been a few days, and I had a trade offer. Well, I sent the trade. I got a counter offer. I've been sitting on it because the day after he sent me the trade, you know, you kind of forget about it for a little bit and you go back. I watched the Cubs and Kyle Hendricks just get lit up so much that it actually dropped him 40 spots in the rankings in Yahoo. And, you know, it's one of those where I don't know where to go with it because I could use both players, but now I got a little afraid of Kyle. So the counter offer was Chris Taylor for Kyle Hendricks. I've been leaning towards risking it and just clicking accept. What is your thought?
Well, honestly, you need starting pitching. It's an okay deal. If you can get by without starting pitching with the year Taylor is having, I wouldn't do it. You know, he's been a monster, and there I just, it would be difficult for me to move him.
Well, and I'll tell you the original trade, and I could have lived with this one. Well, this, obviously I offered it, but the original trade was Javi for Hendricks, and part of it was, you know, I was hoping that this guy, because I don't think he's really been changing his lineup. I think he must have went in a month ago and changed every lineup for every week. Because he's not going anywhere. So, I don't know if that's the issue because I actually lost or barely beat out a team that's kind of dead. You know, they hit all the innings. I was kind of mad, hoping to get some ground. But, you know, I threw Javi for Hendricks, and Javi was kind of hit or miss the last couple weeks with the Mets. And then, of course, when I got the counter when Javi was put on the IL. So, yeah, I was just so thrown off by it. I might have to go look again and see what I could do. I know, because when he came back with Chris Taylor, I've been sitting on it for a couple of days. I don't know if it'll expire or, you know, how it goes.
Yeah, this
time. Did you want to stay in our fantasy league realm, or did you want to go somewhere else? Like the fact that I didn't win this Sunday, but I won last Sunday. When you sent me a 5-cent NASCAR fan duel.
Yeah, well, no, I was just more wanted to make sure you were okay because Tim Tebow got cut today, and I wasn't sure how you were handling it. So.
Handling it better than the guy who tweeted out that he's going to be the best tight end in the NFL this year.
Yeah, well, you know, now I did not win 2 weeks ago in NASCAR, But I did cash this week. I put in, what did I end up with? I ended up with five lineups. I put in $1.60 and I won $3.82.
Nice. You doubled your money.
Yeah, so yeah, not too bad. And, you know, I had been struggling. I'm hoping last night kind of breaks me out of it. I put in $1.30 worth of lineups in MLB, and I won $4.90. So I'm hoping I'm kind of getting on a roll here and working things out. So we'll see. But, yeah, I had been slumping pretty badly daily fantasy-wise. So I'm hoping to turn it around here.
Yeah, I mean, it was, to be honest, you know, on the weekend sometimes I forget about fantasy, so when I get yours, I guess I'm more annoyed that they just don't continue with the home run derby. I don't even know why they have to put, you know, I don't even know why they have to put $1 million prizes on it. Just put, you know, even minimal or, you know, much smaller. So they're not losing money by all those cheap asses, but you know, so it kind of takes the fun out of it. And I think too, a lot of the games I like to play the fantasy ones, which I thought were easier, and maybe because again I'm a cheap ass, so you know I like the 50-50 games and some of the smaller ones where you weren't doing a whole team, but then it's hard because those subcategories. A lot of times, God, I sound like an old guy, right? Subcategories, and they just call it a sub. You know, they don't have as many people playing, so you try to get in, and you're like, you can't even get in because the game gets canceled or whatever. So, but yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, you don't get enough.
You know, so but I was surprised when you sent the latest NASCAR one. I was putting the lineup together, and then I realized I had more money, and I was like, wait, what happened? You know, won $3 off a nickel. And I got 4 cents for my bonus money from 10 years ago when I signed up.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, it, you know, just, you know, again, obviously I'm not betting big money with anybody else. I could say so we'll see. Oh, and
no,
you'll be happy to know I did finally break down and bag up all my shirts. They're going to help, you know, help the need today. I ended up with about, almost 3 full garbage shirts that are going away. So,
like a funeral.
I felt bad. I almost cried a little bit. The Mickey one ended up being right on top, and I think that was the first one I got. And it was just like, oh, God, no. Let him go. But they are all – they're going to a good cause. They're not just going in the dump. So that's a big plus.
Yeah. Congratulations on the big life change and, I guess, letting go of the old days. Now you can put the man
pretty much. And I just got to get motivated to get my ass back in the gym because I kind of overdid it and took time off, and now I got to get motivated to go back. So, but here, I got some kind of bad news that affects you more than anybody else. You know, I was wondering what was going on with your guy, Clint Frazier. I knew they had, you know, they had put him on the IL. But it was about 6 weeks ago, and I hadn't seen or heard anything about him. Apparently, he was suffering from dizziness and other symptoms consistent with vertigo. He played 3 rehab games. He went 4-for-10, but he was pulled from his rehab assignment because apparently he is continuing to have vision issues. And according to Aaron Boone, they are unsure if he will ever be able to play again.
Did he get hit in the head?
No, I don't believe so.
I thought he had some kind of – didn't he have a nasty injury? Or, you know, I heard vertigo is just really bad. My mom had a mild case and was able to eliminate it with physical therapy. But, you know, depending on how it is, I don't know. You know, I'm not – how that would work.
Yeah, the only thing they have that could possibly be related is he had a concussion back in 2018, and the symptoms lingered for a long, long time. But, you know, again, we're talking 3 years long.
Yeah, I mean, well, you never know the effects of a concussion. We've seen some people have some interesting personality changes. You know, but not only with that, and I guess that's why I just thought he got hit in the head with the ball, because I remember him having a concussion a couple of years ago. And, you know, I really didn't put two and two together until you brought that up, because since that time, it just seems like his, not only has his play kind of gone down, which is part of the, you know, with the roster that the Yanks have, it's hard to stay in the majors if you're not at the tippy top of the game and battling it out with Stanton and Judge. You know, it's kind of a hard feat to go against. So, you know, I always thought there was that factor in it. But his play has been kind of really good, really bad. You know, like you said, he went 4-for-10. But then, you know, things just happened. So it is interesting. It's kind of sad to hear that, you know, for that kid. Because I know watching, I think, early season games and preseason, you know, I remember hearing, I forget where he was talking, you know, about being able to work with Reggie Jackson and some other former Yankee greats, you know, so you kind of feel for him if he isn't able to.
Yeah, well, you know, and then to make it, you know, even to make it even worse is this year he was actually finally getting playing time.
Mm-hmm.
And it all happened to him, so it was just, you know, just bad timing. But hopefully, you know, he'll recover and, you know, have the opportunity to make a comeback.
Might need that year off, like Buster Posey.
So you know, it is possible that may be something, you know, that has to happen. But all right, I have a, you know, let's call it interesting question here for you. You know, I don't know if you were watching last night, but Joey Votto got his 2000th and 2001st hit in a Cincinnati Red uniform last night. Basically, what I'm wondering, Dan, is he a Hall of Famer?
After all the World Series they were supposed to win?
Well, you know, he's an MVP winner. He's got 321 career home runs. He is a career 300 hitter.
Okay.
You know, and he's been, well, technically in his, 50th year. He is 37. He's probably got a couple more years left. I don't think it was a 3,000 hit. But, you know, I think he's got a pretty good case. This one of the guys we see eventually, you know, 5-6 years on the ballot then?
Well, that was, you know, my first thing I was going to propose to you was, where did you see him going in? And definitely not on the first ballot. It's potty time, sorry.
Yeah,
but
okay.
To be honest, depending on who else is on the ballot, I think six might even be too long, or not too long, but that he won't be on that long. I was thinking maybe three or four.
No, it definitely is possible, you know, that he won't hang around on the ballot that long. You know, we'll just gotta kind of wait and see. You know, it is, you know, like I said, he does have only the one MVP. He does have one Gold Glove. You know, the important thing, of course, is he did lead the league in WAR back in 2017, which is the only thing that really matters. I thought it was kind of interesting when it was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, where does he fit in? Because, like, I'm looking at some of the – they score players on Baseball Reference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he doesn't score all that well. I mean, he's in with guys like Derek Lee and Brian Giles and Will Clark and Adrian Gonzalez, and none of those guys scream Hall of Famer to me.
No.
So, you know, that just kind of makes me wonder.
Well, and when you bring it up like that, is it one of those where he was just around long enough, able to stay healthy enough to produce for, you know, a long period of time that puts him in? Or do you
look
segmented portion of his stats?
Yeah, well, you know, my guess is, you know, he's got a couple more years on the contract. He signed through 23 with an option through 24. So he's going to have the, you know, at least two more seasons. You know, I just, you know, so you figure that's going to add, you know, probably 300 hits with, you know, whatever he amasses this year. So he, you know, I mean, if he plays in 24, he may end up with 2,500 hits and a little over 400 home runs. But I, you know, again, I don't know because, you know, I think back and, you know, Fred McGriff isn't in the Hall of Fame, and I think Fred McGriff was a better player than Joey Votto.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and it's hard because you don't want to single out certain stats, and we're not going to talk about WAR. But do you think the questioning of it would be a lot different if he was at, say, 450 home runs right now?
Yeah, I definitely think if he was knocking on the door of 500 or that was an attainable goal by the time his contract expired, they would honestly be talking about him as like a possible, depending on who he was on the ballot against, a possible first ballot guy. But if not, you know, you get that 500 marker, those 3,000 hits, and, you know, you're supposed to be a lock. So I, you know, it's just, you know, it's just kind of a difficult call for me. But, you know, I heard him talking about it on the MLB Network, and they made it seem like he's going in eventually. And I was just, you know, I was kind of like, wait a minute, you know. What do you mean he's going in eventually? Because, you know, I mentioned Fred McGriff. He ended up with 493 homers. He was a career 284 hitter and had 2,490 hits and never got in. Now, Votto did win an MVP and McGriff didn't. But, you know, McGriff won a World Series.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know, you know, how you kind of, you know, you kind of weigh that out. And when you look at it, McGriff never got close to getting in. The highest percentage he got was 39.8, and that was his last year on the ballot. So, you know, if McGriff isn't in, Votto gets in? Does that seem right to you?
No, you know, and that's, I guess I didn't really even look at it that way.
So, yeah, it seemed weird.
Isn't that what WAR is for?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But, yeah, I was surprised at how easy they made it seem that he would just roll in. And I was just like, wait, what? He's just going in like that? There's no real discussion? And, you know, I mean, he is fifth in active players for total hits. You know, he's behind Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, Robinson Cano, and Yadier Molina. People may forget that Robinson Cano is still an active MLB player. He's just suspended. So, but, yeah, like I said, I just thought it was really strange that they made it seem like it was nothing that he was going to go in. Like, oh yeah, no problem. He'll go in easily. So, you know, I mean, I get that, you know, Albert's going in first ballot and Miggy's going in first ballot and Yadier's probably going in first ballot because he's a catcher. Cano's not going in because he got caught with steroids. So he's not going in. You know, Dan, I know you're wondering, Mike Trout is currently 22nd on this list out of active players. So.
Yeah, but he still has another 15 years to play, right?
Yeah, he's only 29. So he's got a long time to go. I mean, he's definitely, you know, if he can stay healthy, which seems to be a problem, he may be the next guy here who gets the 3,000. So.
Oh, I definitely believe so. I just didn't ever, you know, it seemed like this year was the worst year for Mike Trout with the calf injury and whatnot. So it's kind of surprising. He didn't seem to me, and maybe I just haven't looked at his numbers recently, but he didn't seem to me to be one who's lost a lot of time over the last 10 years.
Yeah, no, he's had a couple years where, you know, he hasn't been able to, you know, get the games in. Or actually, no, it was only the 1 year. 2017 was the year. He only played 114 games. This is going to be the year where he really struggles because he's only played 36 games. So I don't even know if he's going to get to 100 this year. But, yeah, it's definitely one of those where, he's going to need to stay healthy. But, yeah, he looks like he's the guy with the best shot.
Mm-hmm.
So. Because, yeah, all the other guys on the active list are 30-plus. I mean, I know they can hang around till, you know, they're 40 now. And with the DH probably coming in, permanently in both leagues next year, it may give some guys more of an opportunity to get there. We'll see. But I Trout's the only guy I would probably bet money on.
I think everyone would because they all know.
But yeah, there are some guys who are 31 that'll give chase. You know, Jose Altuve is only 31. He's a little over 1,700 hits. Freddie Freeman's only 31. He's at 1,650. So, you know, if they hang around, you know, 9 more years and play to their 40, there's a chance they're going to give that a go. Yeah, you know, so we'll see. We may have a couple more guys get into that club, but Miggy's got a good shot to get in this year because he's only 49 hits away. So we may see Miggy do it this year.
He still has 2 more years on his contract, right?
I can tell you, I believe he does, but let me double check that. Actually, yeah, he signed through 23. And he has vesting options for 24 and 25. So he could play 4 more years if things work out for him. So. But, yeah, you know what I mean? He's looking for that 500th home run. You know, that's right around the corner here. He'll probably pick that up soon. I don't know. Let me see if they say what his vesting options are to have that contract picked up. These might be a little tough. To get the vesting option for 24, he's going to have to finish in the top 10 in the MVP voting in the year 2023. And he hasn't really done that. And then it's the same thing the next year. Miggy hasn't been top 10 in MVP voting since 2016. So, but, you know, he does have 2 MVPs. He's got a triple crown along with 3 other batting titles. So he's not going to have any problem when, you know, those 5 years of retirement are up. He's going to walk right into Cooperstown on the first ballot. So...
Well, and do you see him playing as a Dodger in 2023?
Hey, you know, you never know, right? You know, I mean, maybe he goes back to the Marlins, you know, where it all got started for a year.
Yeah.
DH is there or something. I think it would depend on the, you know, the team and the situation and all that other stuff, you know, how it works out.
I just met with the Pujols coming over to the Dodgers and, you know, filling a great role.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it is a definite possibility that we do see him go somewhere and, you know, maybe, you know, try to win a World Series. You know, I mean, he did win one with the Marlins, so he does have one, but, you know, you never know. Maybe he's looking for another one. But yeah, another one of the interesting things, and I'll still always remember that they said Mike Trout should have won the MVP when Miggy got the Triple Crown because he was a better base runner.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was fantastic broadcasting on Brian Kenny's part when he brought that up. So.
The good old days. No. Yeah, when they try to shove stuff down your throat. I mean, it was pretty ridiculous. I mean, Triple Crown hadn't happened since when? You know, I forget. Was Ted Williams was in?
Yeah, I think it was. No, it was 69, I believe, Carl Yastrzemski.
Oh, it was Yastrzemski, yeah. I thought it was 65.
Yeah.
So. But you're probably right.
Yeah, so. I would know. I was born, you know. I was alive then, so I'm sure I was watching it. So, all right, Dan, I found this article by Tim. I'm going to guess this is pronounced Keenan. 8 things that he wants to see Major League Baseball change. So I want to get your opinion on them. The first one, shorten the season. Now, it doesn't look like he suggests how much they should shorten it. Here we go. It looks like he's talking 132 games. Now we know this is never going to happen, but how do you feel about that?
I think I'd want to know why, but I don't think it's a horrible thing. You know, like you said, the money, owners, money all around is why it's not going to happen. Players aren't going to start taking cuts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I can give this to you before you keep going. It says, by the time the pennant races begin to heat up in September, the country has mostly moved on to football and even the start of other sports seasons. October arrives with a whimper these days. Obviously, if you're a baseball fan like you and I, that's not true, but I guess for some people it is.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. I mean, the downside, well, you know, there's two sides of the coin, obviously. There's a lot of people who are just football guys to begin with. But when you think about it,
yeah,
I don't know, you could still have the season go that long, and maybe if you shorten the amount of games, you just don't have any games on Sunday, to me, which would make the most sense. You know, during that time period. But that doesn't really make sense because it's a day off for people. So, you know, I'm not totally against the his theory. I don't know if 132 is too short of a season to go with. But I do think, you know, like you said, I'm amped. I watch as much of the postseason as I could. You know, but that's me and that's you. You know, I'd be watching it if it started November 1st, the same way I watch it October. But I do think, you know, the season does kind of stretch out kind of long just over the time span it takes. But, you know, I'll watch it any time. So, you know, I think it would – if you look at the – and I think maybe he's looking at the amount of games that players play nowadays too. And nobody's going over 150 if you see that. And a lot of guys are only at that 130 mark. So, you know, but then you would think if they knocked it down to 132 games, how many games would, let's just say, Chris Bryant play? Would he, you know?
Yeah, right. Then
would he drop
100?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that they could drop it down. I don't know if that would be too short. But then again, if they dropped it down to 130 games, you know, the thing I foresee, though, which I think would just kind of kill it, and again, it goes back to the money, is then they would have to completely, they wouldn't have to, but you know they would, money. They would restructure the entire playoffs, and then we would have an NBA playoff season. You know, because if you think about it, the NBA is definitely split because regular season is regular season and postseason is like another 3 months.
Well, his second one here actually kind of addresses that. The second one is expand and realign the leagues by geography. Now, I like this. I don't like the way he has it set up, but I like this idea. He would like to see them go to base. He'd like to see baseball go to 32 teams sooner rather than later. But he wants them to get rid of the American and National League. He wants to go with an Eastern League and a Western League. It would have 2 8-team divisions where they would have 4-team pods, and the playoffs would have 6 teams per league. And then the 4 division champions would get a first-round bye.
I'd have to see that on paper.
Yeah, well, you know, like, you know, my big thing is I don't want to see the teams in the same cities in the same divisions.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get that, you know, obviously that would put both New York teams and both Chicago teams in the Eastern League. See, I don't want to see them play each other 17 times like they would do being in the same division.
No.
You know, I like the idea of them being separated by a league. I have no problem with realigning things and making it more geographically sound. But, yeah, I don't want to see them, you know, like I don't want to see the Angels and the Dodgers in the same division. You know what I mean? We already got the Dodgers. And now the Padres, we don't need to throw the Angels in there.
Yeah, and I'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Yep, okay. So I will keep going here. We just won't get Dan's comments on it. You know, this one isn't bad, and we've heard this a number of times. The next one is add a pitch clock. You know, now there's obviously many reasons to do this, and it's not a bad idea. You know, so we'll see if, and I believe they have tested this in the minors. So, you know, we'll see how we get going there. All right, what are we on? We're on 4 here. This is bring in the robo umps. So he is a guy that wants a robotic umpire to call balls and strikes. So, you know, and again, this is, you know, I mean, I guess it's good and bad. I would be interested to know how the umpires union feels about it. I got a feeling they wouldn't like it, but we'll see how that goes. I don't really care either way. I think it would be humorous to watch a player have a fit about something that was called a strike that he didn't think it was by a computer that he didn't think was a strike, but other than that, yeah, no big deal there. All right, we have end streaming blackouts and loosened video rights restrictions. I didn't know about the video right restrictions, but I'm all for ending the blackout thing. I have no problem there. That's easy enough for me to say. Allow the trading of draft picks. That's another thing I don't really care about how they go with that. You know, hey, you wanna start moving them? Great. I do think they need to set it up where you can't trade, you know, draft picks too far down the road. But we'll see how that goes. So, This one makes obvious sense here. Pay minor leaguers a living wage. All right. Apparently, if you're in AAA, you make somewhere between $400 and $700 a week during the season. You know, that's not exactly, if you're on the low end of that, that's a little difficult to make a life for yourself. So there, so I don't know. You know, it makes sense. The owners will never go for it because they have that antitrust exemption, so they're going to continue to hold down minor league salaries until something is done about that. But we'll see. But that one makes sense. This one, there's a lot that goes into this one. It says, rethink the role of the commissioner. All right, now what people need to understand first and foremost is the commissioner works for the owners. But bottom line, there's no other, you know, way to talk about it. He's employed by the owners. The owners vote him in. The owners vote him out. That's just how it goes. So to redo or rethink or readjust the role of the commissioner, it's going to be difficult to do just because of that. So, yeah, it's an interesting idea. Probably not going to happen, you know, because, again, he's really just a figurehead for the owners is all he really is. So we'll see. But like I said, that's something I just don't think is going to happen. But all right, well, we did have one game earlier today. It was game one of the Yankee-Red Sox doubleheader. That not only was that game on MLB Network, but so is game two. And if you did happen to miss it, the Yankees came back and won the game 5-3. Fantasy-wise, I believe it was Garrett Whitlock took the loss, and Albert Abreu got the win. Jonathan Loaiza did pick up a save, so I don't know if that's fantasy relevant for anybody there. Christian Vasquez hit the only home run of the game, the Red Sox catcher. And let me see what we got here. Rognar Elwardur had a couple of hits, and so did Tyler Wade. Vasquez was the only guy on the Red Sox side to get more than one hit. So not a ton of offense in the game, but the Yankees did get the win, and, you know, now we'll get to hang out for game two, as all the other action is tonight. We can run over some of that for you. We do have game two of that Yankee-Red Sox game. It's Nathan Eovaldi for the Red Sox and Lucas Gill for the Yankees. The Blue Jays are at the Nationals. It's Alex Manoa for the Blue Jays and Eric Fetty for the Nationals. The Angels are at the Tigers. It's Dylan Bundy for the Angels and Casey Mize for Detroit. The Braves are at the Marlins. It's Huskar Yona for Atlanta and Sandy Alcantara for Miami. The Orioles are at the Rays. It's John Means for Baltimore and Drew Rasmussen for Tampa Bay. The Cubs are at the Reds. It's Kyle Hendricks for Chicago and Vladimir Gutierrez for Cincinnati. The Brewers are at the Cardinals. It's Corbin Burns for Milwaukee and Adam Wainwright for St. Louis. The Mariners are at the Rangers. It's Tyler Anderson for Seattle and Spencer Howard for Texas. The Indians are at the Twins. It's Eli Morgan for Cleveland and Bailey Ober for Minnesota. The Astros are at the Royals. It's Framber Valdez for Houston and Daniel Lynch for Kansas City. The A's are here in Chicago to take on the White Sox. It's Chris Bassett for Oakland and Ronaldo Lopez for Chicago. The Padres are at the Rockies. It's Matt Strom for San Diego and Herman Marquez for Colorado. The Phillies are at the Diamondbacks. It's Kyle Gibson for Philadelphia and Taylor Widener for Arizona. The Mets are at the Giants. We got Marcus Stroman for New York and Logan Webb for San Francisco. And the last game on the schedule tonight has the Pirates at the Dodgers. We get Will Crow for Pittsburgh and David Price making the start for the Dodgers. So there you go. You're all set for your action, and it looks like they have the next game scheduled to start in just about an hour. We should get seven games up and running. So there you go. You'll have something to watch right after the podcast. See how that works out? We set it up just right for you.
Yeah, the worst part about it is the stupid doubleheader thing for Yahoo. You know how you
what,
can't
the seven
start
inning
the guy.
Thing?
No, since I didn't put Evaldi in before the first game, I missed out on his second.
Oh,
the second game.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would lock you out like that when it came, especially because he was listed as the scheduled starter for the second game all along.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, it wasn't there this morning. And I should have looked, but, you know, I wasn't even thinking doubleheader. Just thinking regular day.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know it was a doubleheader until earlier when I turned on the TV. And they were like, oh, yeah, we have both games will be on MLB Network. So I was just kind of like, oh, okay, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well, and after tonight with Hendricks on the mound, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you never – you know, you never can tell.
No.
But, yeah, I know he struggled his last couple outings. Maybe he'll have a better one tonight.
Yeah.
Of course, he's in, you know, they're in a really good hitter's park, so you never know.
Well, and, you know, that was something I was going to bring up earlier. But do you think that puts a knock on Joey Votto, though, that his home run numbers aren't higher being in that stadium?
Well, you know, he didn't play his whole career there. You know, I believe they had a different stadium when he played it. So, you know, it should be, you know. But, yeah, you do wonder why, why he doesn't have maybe some bigger numbers. But, you know, it's kind of the same thing with the Rockies. You know, like when those guys came up,
mm-hmm.
you know, should they, you know, hold it against them because they played in Colorado, or you know, how do you do that? So, you know, that I don't think we've had a Rocky go in, have we? You know, I know Larry Walker didn't go in, and Todd, or did Larry Walker go in? I think Larry Walker did go in. He may have been the first one. So, but yeah, you know, Todd Helton didn't get in, and that was one of the things they always said about him was he just didn't hit it. You know, he didn't hit for power in a power ballpark.
Yeah. So obviously, I didn't miss what you were saying. With a realignment, how would you see it for the MLB?
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, I would have to really kind of sit down and look at it and try to break it down. But I'm sure, you know, and a lot would depend on where would they add these teams, you know, because they would, you know, they'd add a couple more teams. You know, I mean, you know, obviously Montreal looks like it's going to be one of the places when they finally do add. But, you know, depending on where this second team would go, you know, how do you shuffle it out? Because, you know, I mean, geographically, the divisions make decent sense. I mean, you can't really complain that the Rangers and the Astros are in the West because they are farther west than any of the other teams, you know, that are in the Central or the East. It's not like the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC East. So,
yeah. Well, and that was part of the reasoning behind the new alignment. you know, after they moved the Brewers into the Cubs division, I forget what year it was. Was it 2013 or 14? When the Astros were finally bounced out of the NL Central, you know, playing 17, 18 games against the Cubs, to now being in the West.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, if you were to add two teams, you would need to do something because that would give you, you know, one division with six teams and two divisions with five
mm-hmm.
teams. You know, and I mean, you know, Montreal would make sense to go into the East. But again, you know, where does the other team fit in? You know, I mean, do you add a Las Vegas and put them in the West? You know, I know there was some talk about Mexico City. Would they go in the Central? You know, so there it would be a lot to work out. But like right now, I don't have a problem with the way things are aligned. Do you?
No, I mean, you know, when they did the Brewers change and the NL Central had six teams. And the AL West had four. It was kind of confusing there for a little bit. But, you know, then they fixed their issue. So I think that was probably the only issue that they really had. And that was resolved. I mean, if you think about it, like you said, the West teams are in the West. Everyone in the Midwest is there together. And everyone in the East is all clumped together. I mean, the only way, you know, when you think about it, realigning it geographically, you know, like you said, I think it would take the kind of the whole thing out of the Yankees-Mets rivalry, the
yeah.
Cubs and White Sox, because of the way it's been. You know, it kind of their games will mean something, but it almost takes away that rivalry, unless you could run it somewhere. But I don't know. But then I also think when you're putting all those games together, then it doesn't generate different types of interest because you need the outside teams to bring in additional fans, especially in a place that doesn't draw to begin with. So, you know, if you have the Marlins and the Rays playing each other all the time, and then, you know, how do you geographically align them with the Texas teams?
Yeah.
You know, they take a boat to Texas instead of a plane. You know, so you can't perfectly geographically align it. The only way you'd be able to is, you know, if the MLB had like 60 teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, then you know, if you took the Rays and the Marlins out of the NL East, or the Eastern divisions, you don't get those transplants that want to go see the game. You know, one of my friends, he lives northern Florida, closer to Tampa area. And he took the drive down to Miami when the Cubs were down there. You know. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of places like that where people will go out to the ball game to see the team they grew up rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in places like Florida and Arizona. You know, and those teams, I mean, let's face it, not, you know, especially the Florida team, not great drawing teams. Miami doesn't draw, Tampa doesn't draw. You know, with Arizona being bad, I'm going to guess they're not having a very, you know, a good season either, drawing fans. I could be wrong, but, you know, I would just guess. So.
Well, and, you know, and even over the recent years with the White Sox, granted I'm not a White Sox
yeah.
fan to begin with, we all know that, but what was the reason I would go to White Sox games? You know, one of the most memorable one, obviously, is Derek Jeter's, you know, farewell tour, getting to be there when he was there, you know, the last hurrah. But not only that, you know, the last couple of years, going to Angels games to see Trout and Shohei Ohtani. You know, where now I think you go to White Sox games and you're not a White Sox fan, but you're going there to see the White Sox play. I think it's a different story now. So, you know, you go to any game. But, you know, previously it was specific games. Or, like you
yeah,
said, teams
yeah,
I like.
Looking here, Arizona is 23rd out of 30 in attendance. The bottom teams, like Toronto is technically at the bottom, but you got to remember they started off playing in two real small parks. Now that they're home, you know, back in the Rogers Center, that'll move up. But Oakland is 29, Miami is 28, and Tampa is 27. Is it really the best idea to have Tampa Bay and Miami play each other 17 times a year in the same division? You know, we're going to get 17 games with 7,000 to 8,000 people at the game because that's all they draw?
No, you missed that one. That's 34 games.
Yeah.
Between the two of them. And
so, you know, do we need that? And the White Sox have actually moved up to 15th in attendance because their crowd is big lately. So they have a shot to move up. The Cubs are falling to eighth. They're generally in the top five. They're actually eighth this year, so they're kind of way down.
Yeah, I hope it continues to go down.
And who's number one? You know this. Who's the best drawing team in Major League Baseball?
The Dodgers.
Yes, they are. Surprisingly, the Braves are second this year. I didn't realize Atlanta was drawing that well.
Atlanta has good baseball history. When they play well, they come out. And they've got a lot of young talent.
Of course, I do
wonder
how much of this is affected by teams that couldn't allow full stadiums to start the year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because Atlanta is second, Texas is third, Houston is fourth. And there were no restrictions there. Humorously, there were no restrictions in Florida either, and they're 27th and 28th. But that's a different story. So... But yeah, that you know, just kind of how it's going right now, you know, because I doubt Texas is really drawing that well now with the team they have and the record they have and all that other stuff. So
yeah, but no, you know, I did forget about that. Like you said, they opened up to a regular season or regular capacity.
Yeah. So. And now have you slowly but surely been looking at football now that we have a preseason game under our belt? You're ready to take Justin Fields with your first pick?
Oh, I live in Chicago, so my first pick, of course, is Justin Fields.
That's what I figured. I did get a kick out of it. I got to listen to everybody talk about how great he played. Well, he played against the second string and the third string, so God, let's hope he looked great. If he didn't look great, there would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad he looked really good.
Yeah, one of my favorite weekend morning talk shows, the Hit and Run on our local station. The broadcaster was texted in that after last night's Justin Fields performance, why are we talking baseball? He's like, well, sir, it's because it's Hit and Run, the year-round baseball talk show. But, you know, I mean, he said he did give a quick, you know, update on all that early on in the show. But it just kills me. Like, why are we talking baseball? Oh, because it's regular season and the baseball's still going on.
Yeah.
But he must have been a Cubs fan. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, I just kind of, you know, I get it, you know, everybody's excited, you know, it's like, okay, you know, he had a great performance, so we're going to, you know, going to go crazy and overreact because that's what we do here. But yeah, it was just kind of like, guys, you know, again, he's playing against the second string and the third string. You know, these guys, he's not going to see these guys when he's starting quarterback. But, yeah, it was just too much for me. It was like, come on, let's not get carried away. And, you know, just nuts. Even, you know, like trading with my emails with Stu, he was wanting to know why he wasn't the starter. And, you know, all that stuff. And it's like, didn't play against anybody. You know, they didn't have their starting unit out there. I don't get what people don't understand about this. You've been watching NFL preseason for I don't know how long.
Why it's called preseason.
Yeah. You know, and now did you watch any of the game?
No, I honestly forgot it was on.
Well, you know, hey, you can check them out this week because they're playing Mitchell Trubisky and the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, look at that. It's my daughter's birthday, so we might skip out on that. I actually have tickets for Saturday, but I gave them to a friend. I was like, here, take your wife and kids. He's like, the wife has to work. He's like, well, here, take the tickets. Take your girlfriend.
Yeah, there you go.
I kind of forgot it was there, but, you know, you brought up the fact that guy felt like the season should be shortened because of the NFL thing, and, you know, is it so much just because that's what gets pumped or, you know, put out there by the media? Football season, you know, yay, football. We only have to work one day a week for this job and then talk about the same guy for 7 days a week.
Yeah, you know, I'm always kind of baffled by, you know, the media when it comes to that kind of stuff. You know, it's like, why are we so just, you know, ape crazy when it comes to, you know, to football? And we, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, yeah, you're really only invested one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, don't get me wrong. It definitely makes, you know, the fantasy part of the game, which is fun, you know, a lot easier because you're only doing it once a week, unless you're doing daily, because then, you know, then you're doing maybe a Monday night and a Thursday night thing, but it's only two teams, so, you know, you're not going all into detail on it. But I don't know. It's like, I get it, football's king, but you still got the other sports going on. But I think it also leads up to the fact that, you know, preseason happens, and it's not a month long, like Major League Baseball, where you get almost 30 games. Now we have 3 preseason games, so, you know, 2 more weeks, right? 3 more weeks.
Yeah. Well, I just realized I forgot to ask you this year what size your daughter has grown into to send her something. What size is she this year?
Oh, she's a 5T.
Oh, okay. So that makes her, what, a youth small?
I don't know. Maybe.
That's,
hey, don't forget the little man. He's fitting in,
well,
six,
yeah, one
six to 12 months.
Oh, you know. What's odd is, you know, I have her birthday as a reminder on my phone, and it didn't send it to me this year. So,
oh, yeah,
sadly, my gift will probably be late this year.
Oh,
so that's
all right.
Disappointing.
I was thinking you're already thinking about football and Christmas. No, I mean, it's disappointing that you're late, but, you know, kids, there's nothing better than being present.
So, when we get done and see what I can find, we're almost wrapped up here. But, yeah, I don't know what the problem is. To go in and look and see if I can figure it out. So, and if you stop by and listen to us live today, well, thank you for doing that. We greatly appreciate it. But if you did miss out, all you have to do is head over to steelers.com and, hey, you can listen to it anytime you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.